Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1 reads this way. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening asking your blessing, Lord, that you might empower the service with your Holy Spirit, that you would guide our hearts into the truth, that we might hear from you, that you would be exalted and our lives empowered for your honor and glory to be the light and the salt that you've called us to be. Help us, Lord, to hear from you tonight, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, the title of the message is simply, What Salvation Looks Like. What Salvation Looks Like. And if anyone knows what salvation looks like or should look like, it should be the child of God. Amen? And so tonight, we want to look at some truths that will help us understand what salvation looks like. And it also, these truths sets you and me free from our own understanding, from what the world is trying to press into us. And here's the thing. The world does not have the answers to life. Do you believe that? The world doesn't. They're looking for answers, and they're hoping to find something. But if it's not found in the Lord Jesus Christ, it won't be found at all, simply because he is the author of life. And so it must be found in him that we might have the peace. So the media is not going to give us these answers. Nothing in the world is going to give us. Entertainment won't do it. There are people looking for peace. There are people that are looking for joy and purpose to what life is all about. As a believer, we've been given that. And tonight, God wants to give us a greater understanding. So, first of all, I want you to see our hope here in verse 1. Notice verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our what? Our hope. So this is what salvation looks like. It is hopeful, is it not? It has hope. So Paul was writing this to young Timothy to encourage him in the ministry, but we know that all Scripture has been given to us for our benefit, has it not? And that we might also grow in the faith. So as we consider this tonight, we want to know and be reminded of that God is our hope. Look at verse 2. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. He knows what he says here. Ready? Grace, mercy, and what? Peace. Does he want that for Timothy? Does God want that for you and I tonight? And notice where this comes from. Notice, listen. He says here, grace, mercy, and peace. Not from the media, not from the world, but from where? From God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. So this is what salvation looks like. Is it possible for a child of God to miss out on the grace, mercy, and peace of God? Absolutely. We can become distracted. We can become deceived. It's important that we guard our heart, that we're not deceived, and we can get caught up in things that are temporal and passing away. I heard one time back in 2003 that this fellow who professed to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, he was an adult grown man with children, got into a physical fight with somebody else that held a different political opinion. May I tell you something? That is a poor testimony. And if we would see something like that, pray that we never do. But if you ever saw something like that, the one who professes to know the Lord as their Savior surely is missing out on the grace, mercy, and peace of God. There is no grace. There is no mercy. And that God says, I'd rather that than sacrifice. And there is no peace. And so they totally have gotten their eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ and put them on something that has really no important meaning to bypass the understanding that that person that he was in a confrontation with, if they didn't know the Lord, that was more important to be a testimony for the Lord than a political position. And so if we're not careful, listen, we can be distracted. And so be careful that you don't get absorbed into things. And it's like that, doesn't it? It's absorbed. You know, years ago, when they just had, before the internet, so that's been years ago, hadn't it? Remember when the internet was a new thing? Whew. Anyway, years ago, when all you had was TV, and sometimes I hear, you know, kids complain, but we'll miss this. No, you won't. It's on the internet. You can stop that and come back to it a week later, and it will still be there. But remember when they had programs on the television set? And if you missed it, you missed it. I mean, it may be gone for several years before they would ever put it back on there. And you remember this? Listen, the devil is smart. Now, this, please don't misunderstand me. There's good. There is good if it's yielded to the Lord. But things can waste our time if we're not careful. Okay, so here's what I'm trying to say. You would look at a movie and say, I'd like to watch that, but that's an hour and a half, and I don't want to get in the middle of it and not watch. You ever do that and just forget it? I'm not watching that, you know. I don't have time. I don't have time for that tonight. And so, but now, what does the internet do? It gives you snippets of things, 5 minutes, 3 minutes. And my goodness, you can get caught up in that. Mm-hmm. Nothing bad. And before you know it, an hour has gone by. Mm-hmm. So listen. Our world has been distracted and gotten caught up in this internet. And again, I'm not saying that it can't be used for good, but remember, it's of the world. And there can be things that are done for the glory of God in the world, but we need to be careful that it doesn't take us away from the truth of God's word and what God can do for us. We're not careful. I'm guilty of this, okay? So this is a little bit of a confession. There's a lot of good things on the internet. How do I fix this? You can look that up on the internet. You can watch somebody do it and then decide whether or not you can do it yourself or not. Isn't that something? So that's a good thing. We can get caught up, if we're not careful, looking into things that we can fix for ourselves or what have you, and lose time. You don't want to do that, okay? So here is the grace, mercy, and peace of God that God wants every believer to enjoy. And then notice this, what salvation looks like. It looks like an unchanging doctrine here in verse 3. Notice this, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, that's a good thing to do sometimes, just to be still and wait on God. When I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. There is no other doctrine but what you find in the Word of God. And it's found in the whole canon of Scripture, and it all agrees upon each other. There's no conflict in the Word of God. If there's a conflict, it just resides within our own heart and mind, because God will clear things up for us as we seek Him and put things together in light. Notice this. Again, when we realize that the doctrines do not change, verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Notice what they do, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now, he's telling this to Timothy, and he's saying to Timothy, who is a man, that a young man, but he's nevertheless a man that is ready to be a pastor of the church of God. So he has spiritual maturity to him, ready to do this work. And Paul is saying to him, be careful not to give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Why? Because they minister questions rather than godly edifying. So didn't that what we just said? Be careful that you don't get wrapped up in things that draw questions and do not edify, spiritually speaking. God has truths for us to receive and understand that he wants to impart to us into our lives that give us peace, that give us stability, that the world looks at and says, you know, I need what they have. I mean, I don't understand. They're experiencing the same things I'm experiencing in life today, and yet they seem to be at peace. And so God wants us to have that. Also, as we consider what salvation looks like, What is the purpose of God's commandment? This is important. Notice verse 5 here. Now the end of the commandment is what? Charity. Did you see that? Listen, the end of the commandment, in other words, when you come to the end of something, when you come to the revelation of what it's really all about, when you come to the end of the gospel, for example, let me give you the end of the gospel. Ready? Salvation in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Is that not the end of the gospel? I mean, to summarize, to sum it all up, the end of it all is Jesus Christ. All right, so now the end of the commandment, the end of it all in the life of the believer, what salvation looks like is the love of God. Amen. Listen, if the love of God is absent, you've missed God. It is possible for a child of God to have salvation, eternal life, and have missed the love of God. So he's writing this to Timothy, and of course, who's going to share it with other ones that will be getting involved in the ministry and also those in God's churches. So verse 5 again, now the end of the commandment is charity. Notice, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and faith unfeigned. That's an interesting word, unfeigned. What does that mean? Not a counterfeit. Not hypocritical. Real. You ever heard somebody? Be real. Amen? Be real. Well, as a believer, being real is being filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. Being real, not being hypocritical, being sincere and genuine. You know, that we don't excuse ourselves, but then yet, listen, that we're genuine with the Lord and experiencing God in our lives. And so he says, this is the end, really. This is what the commandment is all about. This is what life of salvation looks like, and it ought to be depicted by the love of God in the life of the believer. So isn't that good? Listen, this is the way that Paul is informing Timothy as he begins his ministry on his own. And he says, don't forget all this. Keep all everything that you've been taught, but remember where it's all coupled. It's all in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's all seen by the love of God that should be in the life of the believer. So, verse 6, he says this, from which some having swerved, right? You ever drive with somebody and they swerve? Does that get your attention? It'll wake everybody up if they're sleeping. So notice what he's saying, and it ought to wake us up as well, from which some, so this is important, this information, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. What does that sound like to you? Vain jangling, just a bunch of noise. And listen, the world is making a bunch of noise to get our attention, and we don't want to be distracted. Then there's a semicolon or a colon there, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Teachers of the law, what does that mean? If you do this and you don't do that, you'll be right with God. You know what they're doing? They're setting up their own standard. If you do this and if you don't, no, is that what the Bible teaches? No, listen. Love, if you have the love of God, you will fulfill the law. You're going to learn something interesting tonight. If you haven't already, you're going to see something maybe brought to light that maybe you haven't quite seen this way tonight. And it's been there all the time. That's the wonderful thing about the infinite truth of the Word of God, that it's there all the time. And that is tonight, we want to consider the lawful use of the law. The lawful use of the law. Pharisees use the law to their own benefit and to everybody else's demise. So what is the lawful use of the law? Look at verse 8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. All right, what is that? How do we use the law lawfully? Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Now there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is because if we have the love of God in us, we will fulfill the law. If we have the love of God in us, we'll consider others, we'll really consider others by the love and grace of God before ourselves. If we do that, we will definitely, listen, be guarded by the grace of God to not offend the Lord and not to offend others as we walk in the truth. Now, I'm not saying that we won't offend people, but I'm saying that we won't do anything that would be deserving of an offense. For example, I think I told you this story when I was leaving my workplace to go into the ministry, you know, the devil comes in. I tell you what, I mean, he tried. I had made this decision. I was leaving a well-paying job. And then all of a sudden, another doctor's office wanted me to make me the manager of their. Why would they do that right there at the end? I'm leaving. I'm telling you, I'm leaving. Hey, we'd love for you to come work for us. And they had several offices and be our manager. And I said, I'm flattered by the invitation. And they didn't know why I was leaving. But as soon as I told them, I don't think they were so excited anymore. But anyway, I'm going into the ministry. And that was like probably fixed it for me there. But anyway, I had one fella come to me. And I'll tell you, listen, by all means, I was flattered by this, all right? And I tried to witness to him. His name was Victor. He was a marketing rep for our company. And in fact, he was the head marketing rep. And when I was leaving, I don't know if it was what day it was of my two-week notice there. Maybe surely the last week, maybe even the last day, he called me, hey. And we kind of butted heads a couple times because there were some things he wanted me to overlook that I could not overlook that were not right, okay? And so anyway, because of that situation, we did not see eye to eye on some things. But he called me over. He said, listen, I want you to know something. I thought he was going to chew me out before I left. He said, I've heard a lot of people tell me they were Christians, but I see something in you that I have not seen in anybody else. I don't agree with you, but at least I can see you believe what you preach. And you know what? I walked away and I said, thank you, Lord, because it was not in me. Even when I stood up to him and saying, no, we're not going to do things that are unethical. We're gonna stick by the right way. And this was early in our relationship, you know, probably 2 years earlier. And I don't think he, should I say, appreciated me, but he respected me. And I would much rather have respect for God, you know what I'm saying, than a friend. But you know, I think deep down inside, he appreciated, you know, the truth. I think the world needs to see the truth. And again, not that I'm not without my flaws and my shortcomings, but you know, at that instant there, I think the Lord was glorified, and I just praised the Lord. I never heard that really. I never heard that from anybody else but him that I can recall. People say nice things. But that was like thank you God, you know, that you could do that. So he says this. He says, verse 8, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he had committed to my trust. He said, all these things that are ungodly, that's what the law was created for, lawbreakers. Now, that's why Jesus said, I've not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, to uphold it. So salvation is our hope. Salvation is an unchanging doctrine. Salvation is the purpose of God's commandment, and that's to be not a counterfeit, to be not hypocritical, but to be real and genuine. And then the law was given to the ungodly, but also for us to make sure that we're not in the camp of the ungodly, because it is possible for that to take place. And then I'm going to finish up with this. There's some other thoughts there in verses 14 and 15 about abundant grace. I just want to focus in for the sake of time here on the enabling power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he tells them all these things. And then he says this in verse 12 and 13. And I thank God. Remember, he said about all the profane people and all the lawlessness that goes on amongst the lawless. And then he says this. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. Isn't that good? Our Lord. Isn't it good when you can call him our Lord? And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me. Did you see that? Where does our enabling come from? From Christ.
I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful. By the way, if you're saved, God counts you and I faithful, because he's faithful. Meditate on that just for a brief moment here. God sees you and I faithful because he sees Christ in you and I, who is faithful. You and I can be faithful because our God is faithful. Does that make sense? Christ in us gives us faithfulness. It comes from him. So he can see it. That's why when he said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor, and he's shaking in his pants back there. What word did valor come from? And he said, go in this thy might, because I'll be with you. And that's where faithfulness and victory comes from. So he says this very quickly, and I thank Christ Jesus, verse 12, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And now listen to this testimony, who is before a blasphemer. Paul, a religious man, was a blasphemer. You know why? Because he spoke against Jesus Christ. And a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy, just like you and I, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. But God opened up his eyes, and God has opened up your eyes and mine. And he says tonight, well, he wants to see what salvation looks like in us, because he enables us, and the world needs it. And by the way, listen, we need it. Don't you want to experience the grace of God and the peace of God and the joy of God? Allowing God to work through us gives us a testimony to ourselves first. You know, listen, fathom this thought. You are the first one to know when God is working in your life, are you not? Let me tell you what God did for me. You ever said that before? Let me tell you what God did. Right? You're the first one. So God wants to give us more of that in our lives, that we might worship him. And then the world will see it. Beginning with our family. I'm convinced God wants us to be the influence to our family first and then to the world. So tonight, God wants us to understand what salvation looks like so that we can see it. God bringing it to pass in your life and mine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the wisdom and understanding that it brings. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts throughout the rest of this week, that we might call upon you and expect great things, because you are a great, merciful God that is alive and well and looking for your people to call upon you, that you might reveal more truth and a greater example and a greater experience of your grace and mercy in our lives, that we might enjoy it for ourselves first as you fill our cup, and as it overflows, that our family might be blessed, and then the world. Bless the rest of the time together, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.